I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And we are now, as members of our church, we are called to the Great Commission to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the world starts with our neighbor. Amen? It's always funny. Someone says, God's calling me around the world to reach over us. Well, are you reaching your neighbor yet? No? Okay, let's start there. Okay? And then we'll see from there where we go. Amen? Because if you're not reaching your neighbor here, you're not going to reach your neighbor over there. Does that make sense? Okay. So we all have this responsibility. So the 15 to 30 second testimony. Say, how would I use that? Well, we were challenged. I think it was that Wednesday of the evangelism class. We went downtown. And this is where I began to use this. And we would walk up to a vendor and strike up a conversation. I actually bought a number of things because I felt like that might help that conversation. If you're buying something, they're more apt to talk. So I bought some honey off of a bee lady, and I bought some coffee off of a guy who says they were from Papua New Guinea. I have no idea where he got these beans from, but anyway, I bought some of those. I bought some drink stuff that's supposed to help whatever, and I don't know if it did or not, but it was good. But the point is, in each of those conversations, I was able to actually strike up a conversation that really went into the gospel. So I kind of, just a little friendly stuff, all of that, and then I just gave my quick testimony. I wrote mine down. I'll just read it just so you'll kind of get a flow. But something like this. I was a very successful aircraft mechanic, seemingly living the dream externally. Man, I was struggling inside with the purpose and meaning of life. I met a girl who invited me to church. Couldn't believe my ears when the preacher actually got up, opened the Bible, and preached as if he believed it. And I had never saw that before. I ultimately would learn that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I received the Bible's way of salvation, and it filled the void, gave me purpose and meaning, and totally changed my life. Have you ever experienced something like that before? Does that make sense? Now, I'm not reading this to somebody. I just let that flow. I really don't have this memorized, but that is the gist of how I would just open that conversation up. And did you do some of that too? Did you something like that? Okay. It was amazing in that whole thing. So in a sense, where I was before salvation, how I got saved, and what happened after salvation. How about you? That flow, by the time I was talking to the coffee guy, he was the first guy I tried this on. He was selling roasted coffee from Papua New Guinea. At first there was a wall, and as I went through that you could see that wall just come down. He stood up and we began to have a spiritual conversation. He says, you know, my dad's a pastor. I was like, what? He says, yeah, he lives in North Carolina. I was raised in his home. I was like, well, do you consider yourself to be a Christian? Then No, I've never believed. I know a lot of the Bible, I've never. And that, I was there for I don't know how long. And we talked and talked about the Lord, but it was that testimony that switched. And I really feel like if I just would have said, hey, can I give you something to read? Then that's it. That's all that would have been. Does that make sense? And so it's important that we have something like this. It's personal. It's kind of tailored to the event because you're talking to somebody. You don't just, the first thing you do when you walk up, start rambling your 15-second testimony, but you just briefly get to know them just a little bit and then go right into it. And it was amazing how that would every time, even with the bee lady, Hunter's Bee Farm had a thing over there. Yeah, and so I walked up, Bill Clark was there, and I could tell they were kind of stalling out. So I just walked up, and I was interested in some of the honey, and I'll just listen to them. And I went right into, it's kind of the sort of the same thing. And she started crying. And just thinking, it brought her to her own testimony. And ultimately, she did have a testimony. We talked about that, where she's at, and different things. But it was amazing. But it was that testimony that did it. It was not a track. Now, we would give a track at the end, whatever, kind of make some contact there, but the track was the end, not the beginning. Does that make sense? And I don't know, Emily, did you work on your 15-second? You do? Do you have one too? You do? Would you guys both mind just where you're at? Maybe giving us what your 15-second testimony is? You want to go first? Hannah don't mind. No, that's good. Go ahead. Have you ever done anything else? Have you ever done something like that? That's a great follow-up to that with that person, right? Have you ever done something like that? Right? So that's good. Yes?
Before I met Christ, I was unfulfilled and afraid. But once I learned what Jesus did for me on the cross to bear my sins, after I trusted him, I had peace and I was happy. Do you have peace?
That'd be a great question to follow up with. Yeah, do you have peace? See, so based on your testimony, you end that with a question, right? Does anybody else have a 15-second, 30-second testimony, like a real quick testimony? Do you have one?
Yeah, I like what, I mean, they actually instructed there that two words, I mean, that really helps you keep it to like 2 seconds.
Yeah, they say actually.
Two words to describe when you were lost, two words to describe after you were saved, so. Mine basically said, before I met Christ, I was wicked and vile. But then when God brought me to the Lord Jesus, he saved me, and now I'm amazed and filled with love. Has that ever happened to you?
Amen.
And honestly, I started that. I tried the same thing. A guy was just sitting in his car, and I came up and gave him a track, but then I immediately went into that. And
okay.
He was like, just zoomed in.
Isn't that crazy?
Immediately like, whoa, even a 15-second testimony is really powerful.
It is, yeah. That's really good. So here's what I want you to do. On the back of your colorful page, you have a blank sheet there. And here's what I want you to, I'm not going to have you read it. I'm not going to have you do anything. But I want you to do this, and I want you to start. I want you to write down your 15-second testimony. If you don't have a testimony tonight, you can be saved. Because if you're not saved, you don't have a testimony. But if you are saved, you have a testimony. And so what Luke was talking about, and I do have that sheet here from the book, they basically said how to give your testimony in 15 seconds. It says, write two words that best describe the way you felt you were before you were saved. Right? And then what two words best describe your life after you were saved? And you can take those two keywords and put those into sentence structure, and then you can use that to give your testimony. And then they follow up and say, so your testimony is as simple as, before I knew what Jesus did on the cross to take away my sin, I was, as Luke said, wicked and vile. But now, since I am forgiven, I am
amazed and filled with love.
Yes. Amen.
They said, they really said, make sure you use one word. One word, which I was like, I don't know how to use one word to say filled with love. But yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So go ahead and jot down. How would you write that? Everybody should be writing right now. Everybody should be thinking, writing. How would you do that? Real quick. Not enough time to give your complete testimony. Just a real quick to somebody. As they said here, before I knew what Jesus did on the cross to take away my sin, I was. And then, or something like mine's totally different than that, but it works for me. Yes.
And I think what they said also, I think Brother Stallman said that, like, that's just so much more supplement. Like, if you don't have time to talk to someone and you're just giving them a track, like, how much better is that? Like, it's like, hey, could you take this? Like, but you give them, like, just a real quick, like.
Well, you're handing it there.
Yes, this is what happened to me. Now I give you something.
Yeah, I like that.
Check this out. Like, I want you to be amazed and filled with love like I am.
Yeah, I could say something like, before I met Jesus, I was worldly successful, but empty inside. Since I've come to know Christ, I am, and then going from that. So yeah, it works. Amen. That's good. And if you get yours done right away and you're like, I want to share this, we can do that. I won't put you on the spot tonight. We've all struggled with, what do we say to someone when we're having a track? So we usually say something like, would you read this? You know, if it's your own personal track, you could say, hey, I wrote this. This is about my life. But this is better. This is really powerful. Okay. You want to share yours, Rachel? Amen. Go ahead. Wow, that's great. Amen. Very good. Excellent. John C., you have something now?
I've used a short version for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'll hand people a track or something, I'll say, here's some good news for you, or, you know,
yeah.
I'd like to give you this to read. And I say, you know, I was brought up in a Christian home, okay, but I got off the track as a teenager, and I got into a really bad crowd, and it got to the point where I really thought nothing short of a straitjacket and a padlock was going to keep me from self-destructing. And I said, if I hadn't gotten saved when I did, I wouldn't be here today.
Wow. Amen.
And, you know, and I just, and then usually I say something to them like, you know, have you ever heard the gospel? Or,
yeah.
You know, are you a Christian? And then that usually leads into another conversation if there's time.
You could actually follow up with like a connect with that track one there and say, do you feel like your life is on the right track? That'd be a great, you know, because you want something to put it, connect with your testimony at that heart level with them, you know. And that question is going to be important because that's going to lead us to our next step. Anybody else? Amen. And keep in mind, you're amongst friends tonight. If you can't do it in here, you ain't going to do it out there. I guarantee it. So get your fear worked out in here. Yes, Ryan.
I'm still trying to
word it, yeah.
Yeah, get over it. But Henley told me mom's too long. Sorry. I'm going to have to work on that. But essentially, I grew up in church, my dad being a pastor, heard the truth from, you know, from the beginning. But I was always deemed a quote unquote good kid, but inside I was empty inside, struggling,
yeah,
trying to do all that on my own, and struggled with it for a long time. I can remember all kinds of times, but finally one day, actually September 14th, 2004. I finally gave up, and just called on the Lord to carry, take away my sin and carry that burden for me.
And here's that's good, but here's what we want to keep in mind. In your 15-second testimony, you're really not preaching the gospel yet. All you're really doing is you're trying to, from your heart level, just high level, tell them what happened to you and then pose that question to them. Basically, do you connect with this, right? And then if they do, now we're going to start preaching the gospel. Does that make sense? We're trying to get them to where now they want to hear more, because that is the issue. If they don't want to hear, they ain't listening, right? And so we're trying to pique the interest there based on my life experience. You know, do you, in a sense, do you understand what I'm saying? Is that where you're at? So, yes, Nancy, I think.
I was baptized at 15 years old at church, but at 18 I walked into the working world and felt lost and lonely and stopped going to church.
This is another thing you don't want to do, start crying.
No, it's okay. Honestly, if that's what happens, it happens. The Lord will use it.
After many years, I found Jesus, who gave me peace and took away my loneliness. Do you have peace?
Yeah. Something like that, I'm telling you, that is awesome. And that'll connect. That'll connect with somebody. And you ask that question. If they say no, then I'll share with you how you can kind of segue into the next. Yes, Teresa.
Before I knew what Christ did for me, I was fearful and my soul was unsettled. After I learned how Christ loved me and died for me, I trusted him as my Savior, and it is now well with my soul. Is it well with your soul?
Wow. Yeah, amen. This is great.
I like that.
Do you see how quick that?
Yeah.
It's oh, man, powerful. Powerful stuff. All right. And so, Krishana has one? Are you've been...
Yeah, I'm trying.
voluntold. No.
Sit down, but I can try it.
You want to? Okay, go for it.
If I can read one. Growing up, we went to church, but not like too much. I really didn't think I was a bad person compared to like all the different ones that I was around. And sorry, but when I was in high school, I was in a bad car accident, and it started leading to a question: where do you want to go when they die, and how do you know if you go to heaven or hell, or if even hell exists? And I moved to Indy, and a guy, I think I was there for like a year and a half, and then a guy gave me a gospel tract that says, how do you know you're going to heaven? And I read it, and I thought it was different than what I thought, because I thought you had to do all these different good works to receive forgiveness. And then I started going to the, I called, and I started going to the church. I didn't get saved right away, but then I, then probably maybe like a year and a half after going, I stopped going, and I went back, and then they, then I came to the realization that that I was a sinner, and that that I wasn't a good person, and God showed me like all my different sins that I committed against Him, and Teresa was actually led me to Christ, and I asked God to forgive me of my sin, and He saved me, and been changed ever since. And do you know if you were to die today, where you would spend eternity?
It's a good testimony, but knock about 2 minutes off of that. That's good, but. And again, there may be a time that, depending on the situation, you do give that long version. It's just, you just want to be able to discern. So what's neat about soul winning, I think this is why people really struggle with it, is every meeting with somebody is a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
And we're not just trying to go through this, you know, I do the same thing every time, one, two, three, whatever, repeat after me. We're not doing that. We're trying to connect with the heart, find out where they're at. We're just looking for something, because this testimony will help you to see where they're at, right? And then ultimately, we want to be able to sit down with them and show them the gospel, amen? And that way, and by the way, when we give the gospel, like if we're leading them through something, whatever, our testimony's kind of entwined in that, right? And that's just how that works, and so praise the Lord. So my question is, have you ever experienced something like this? And if they say, well, yeah, or, you know, if they kind of show, yeah, I have. And then I would say something like, can I show you the Bible's way of salvation? Because that's kind of the phrase I used in there. So your next question will be, if they say, you know what, I would like to have peace, or I do feel empty, and I whatever, on and on and on. You say, well, can I show you what God showed me from the Bible that led to my salvation, or whatever. You could, whatever. And then once you get that, well, yeah. Once you get that, that's when we would go into something like this that we've been working on, or what I wanted to do tonight was show you what this is, all right? That's why I passed all those out. Now, this is just a tool that I have grown to enjoy using. And so mine is actually a little thicker and folded. It was actually printed. I just ran copies off for y'all because I don't have a bunch of these. But if we do like these, then we can get those. And so for mine, the way I have mine folded, which is different than how they come, I fold that thing right down the middle and then fold that so it looks like this. That's how I do mine. And the reason I do that is I actually start off with just this one side. So if I unfolded it like that, you'd see that. But then I have that on that side and this one on this side. And so the fall of man. And so I love using this. And so if I can show them something, and when we were doing our handing out the Bibles, and I by the way, I have the tent now, I have the banners, I have the signs, I have the Bibles to pass out. We are ready to hang out in the parking lot and pass out some free Bibles, amen. That was amazing. I used this a lot during that experience. And basically what I would do as I would talk, everybody that stopped seemed somewhat interested, and I was able to get to this, which was great. But I start with this side, which is the fall of man. And that little picture up here is the tree, the fruit, the forbidden fruit that Adam and Eve ate. So I go back and I talk about original sin and then kind of progress. Now, there are verses here, and you can add verses to yours. You can do I do a lot of just stuff from memory and quote verses when I'm talking to somebody typically, but I will call their attention here. But basically the verses here, Romans 3:10 there, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And if you know these verses, you don't have to read them all, but you'll know which one or ones to go to kind of get on the issue of sin. That Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And if you're talking to someone that seems to be one who is trying to be saved by good works, you can actually talk about how you know that there's a lot of laws in the Old Testament. You know, you'd say, do you know what the whole purpose of a law? Galatians tells us what the purpose of a law is. You know, the law was never intended to save anybody. It was our schoolmaster, Paul told us, that it's supposed to bring us to Christ. And the way it brings us to Christ is it shows us that we're a sinner, right? Because we can't keep the law, it shows that we're a sinner. And we're a sinner for two reasons. One, because of the fall, right? By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death has now passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So you can go to Romans 5 and deal with those if we need to. But you can say, and then secondly, we sin not only because of original sin, because we were born a sinner through the seed of the man, but we also sin by choice. I make choices to sin, which shows I'm a sinner, right? And then you can kind of just see where they're at with that if they're with you. And once they admit that they are a sinner, you say, now, the good news is that Jesus, he came to this earth and died on the cross for us. And then you could say, do you know why Jesus had to die on the cross for us? And see where they're at. Because if you ask that question, you're going to know. Well, you know, do they have any idea about the reason he came? They might say, yeah, he had to come and die because we're sinners, right? We just talked about that. Well, that's great. And then we can just review a couple verses and kind of move on from there. Or say, I have no idea why Jesus had to die on the cross. Well, then you can go into why the perfect God-man had to come and be that Lamb of God who would die for the sins of the world, that pure blood sacrifice, eternal blood sacrifice. If it was just a righteous man, then one man dying, his blood would only really atone for one man, but it took the eternal God to come in and die with eternal blood so that his blood could be applied to all. You could say something like that, and you just start reading scriptures here, but you can go a lot of different ways, but kind of using that format. And so you deal with sin, I jump right to what Jesus did. And here, this is what I do then. Then I say, now, the question is, we know we're sinners, right? Okay. And we know that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, went in the grave, 3 days later rose again. You can go to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, give them the gospel there in a nutshell. And then you basically from there, you say, well, we know this, right? Okay, we know what Jesus did for us, right? Now here's the question. How do we get that bridged? How do I benefit from what Jesus did? And then I do this. Let's look at this. Some people try to bridge that gap right here, this whole left side of that, by basically religion, good works. So if you look at those ropes that are there, that first one, reformation, a lot of people, when they come to church and they're interested in Christ and things like that, they're really not interested in a new life. They just want their life to be a little bit better. They just want their bills paid. They just want their spouse to be nice to them again and start being faithful. They just want their car to stop breaking down. They just want their health problems fixed. You see what I'm saying? They're really not interested. They just want to turn over that new leaf. They really don't want a new life, if you will, right? And so that's reformation. And you could just go through these and talk about these. And that verse up top there, it says Romans 10:3. This is great. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And this was Paul talking about the Jews. And the Jews developed a system from the law that ultimately they said would save them. But God never said that law would save them, right? He never told them that. I even asked that Greg McBride recently. I said to him, who he sticks all Old Testament, I said, is there anything in the Old Testament that says by keeping the law that you will actually be forgiven in eternity, that the blessings of keeping the law go beyond this life? He's like, I said, you can think about it for quite a while, but you're going to find out, and you know the Old Testament, never. No, never in the Old Testament is keeping the law equated with eternal righteousness. It's basically, if you keep the law, it'll be well with you on earth, right? And if you don't, you're cursed. And we're all cursed because no one could keep it, right? And so wherever you have to go on that, the Reformation is the first one. And the reason this rope thing is powerful, because you say to them, if this is where you're at, say, doesn't it get tiring holding on to that rope of Reformation or hanging on to that rope of good works? Don't you get wore out? How long do you have to hang on to that thing, right? You know, you do one good deed and you think it's good, and before you know it, you're guilty again. Now you got to do another good deed. It never ends, does it? It just never ends. Well, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, right? And so we go through each of these, feeling bad. Some people feel like they can't get saved till they feel really bad for it. Now, understand, godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of, right? Worldly sorrow worketh death. There is a feeling bad over the reality that I've sinned against God. I deserve to go to hell over it. But simply feeling bad is not salvation, right? Yes. Or saying you're sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, God, for doing this. And a lot of people will do that. And you think, oh, I'm so glad that person apologized to God. Show me in the Bible where apologizing to God means anything. Right? So we're taking everything back to the scripture. And some people are stuck in this rut of, I do wrong, I apologize. I feel better. I do wrong, I apologize. And they're in this rut, but there's no victory in that. There's no true salvation in that. Amen? Church membership, a lot of people believe they're hanging on to that rope of church membership. I've said the sinner's prayer. And then people struggle for years. Did I say it right? Did I say the right words? Who knows? You know, you beat yourself up over if you did something right. Well, newsflash, salvation's not about what you do. It's not about what I do. It's about what Jesus did. Amen? Repent and believe the gospel. What do we repent of? We repent of any other way to heaven. We're going to let go of that. We're going to repent of anything I can do to be saved. We're going to let go of our own life, because we know in salvation that we are purchased. We're bought with a price, right? And then we're not our own. Amen? And so we're letting go of all of that. Amen? And here's a true test for you as a believer. Are you okay with God telling you to stop anything, start anything, give anything? I mean, that's what it means to be yielded to God. Now, I believe there's salvation, and then there is a surrender, it seems, because no way do we all know all these things at salvation. But when you got saved, you became a child of God. Now you're not your own, amen? And that's what salvation is all about. It's about, life is no longer about you. It's about Jesus, amen? And so just some stuff you can deal with. And so that religion side, so a lot of people turn to religion to bridge the gap between getting their sin fixed and what Jesus did. But religion doesn't fix our issue, amen? And then some people just get so frustrated, they turn away from all religion. Boy, there's groups like that today. Organized religion, this, and they join some cult because they say, I love how the Jehovah's Witnesses say they're against organized religion. Do you know another religion so organized, amen, as Jehovah's False Witnesses? Oh, you're a part of organized religion. What are you part of? Amen? Is yours disorganized? No, we're pretty organized. Exactly. Yeah. And so, but the point is that spawned from this, I've tried. You people say, I've tried God and it doesn't work. Well, apparently you've not been born again. Amen? You just tried religion. Or you tried feeling bad. You tried saying you're sorry. You tried the sinner's prayer. You tried something, but you didn't get saved. Amen? And so that you use those two sides. And then you say, John 14:6 is the verse up here they give. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And he is. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we start, you can go into Acts 4. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's all kinds of verses you can go. You could go to 1 Corinthians 15 here and show the gospel. And you could go to Titus 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But you need to have some of those handy. So you could say, you know, salvation is not about what we've done. It's about Christ. And Christ, he knew we couldn't do it. That's why he came. That's why he came to earth and died for us. If there was any other way for us to be saved, it'd be pretty foolish that Jesus came to earth and died that death, wouldn't it? Well, yeah. Yeah, before the cross, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. He agonized over it and said, Father, if there be any way for this cup to pass from me, let it pass. And the Father, after that, no doubt there was a pause there. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so he was willing to go to that cross. And so the cross was not a walk in the park, amen. And so if there was any other way, anything else we could do to be saved, then that would be that way of salvation, amen. But there's no other way. So, well, then how can I be saved? Well, simply, well, the Philippian jailer asked Paul that question. And others, and Jesus spoke, right? And the answer is always repent and believe the gospel, right? And then you go into what repentance is. It's not a work, it's a ceasing of works. I love how Brother Hewitt says that. Repentance is not something we do. It's really letting go of what we've done and who we are. We're letting go. That's what repentance is. And then by faith, we're turning to Christ, right? You can use maybe Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9, and maybe something like that to kind of show that side. But something like that. But does that make sense? This is a great tool. And then it just shows Jesus here pulling you up to heaven. And we don't get there on our own. If the Lord doesn't save us, we'll never be saved. The Lord does all the work. And it's not based on the words we say. It's not based on the actions I do. It's not based on the church that I attend or belong to. It's not based on my family I was born into. Good news for me on that one, because my family, I was not raised in church. Amen? And so I never heard the gospel till I came to this building right here, this church. Amen. So, again, does that make sense? I use this. And if you look over that and you like that, we'll try to get some of those. But this is a great tool to use in preaching the gospel. Amen? Any questions on that? Now, that still may not be enough, and they may have some questions. Amen? And that's where this little booklet comes in. And we've worked through this booklet. And for sake of time, I want to have some time in prayer tonight. We're not going to really go too strongly into this. But in this booklet, we're over here on the second page now. The whole first page is helping someone to see that they're a sinner. If they don't see they're a sinner, then they're not in need of a Savior, right? So the condition, and then working through to where we would preach the gospel. This would be more thorough. My 7-chapter booklet out there on salvation, I think there's one out there right now, that's even more thorough. You say, well, who would need that? A Catholic? A Mormon? 2 years for me to get saved. 2 years. Why? I'd already been burnt by religion. That's why. That's why we're not real quick on this thing. Hey, someone's ready. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Amen. They can be born again. It's not based on me allowing it. If they're at that place where they're wanting to repent, confess and forsake, and then cling to the cross of Calvary and believe, amen, call upon his holy name, hey, go for it, amen. But if someone's not ready, then we don't just try to, you know, walk them through a prayer or, you know, whatever, do something to make them ask. No, let them ask questions, right? And if you let somebody ask questions, they realize you're not just trying to, you know, get another notch or something. You're not just, it's not about that. You really do care about them. If you let people ask you questions, then you might even have to say this, man, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. But what I'll do is, I'm going to go do some research. Can we get back together and talk about that? If that's their question, do you think they're going to want to get back together? And you just said to them, I'm not sure. Do you know how far that will go with them? You're willing to say, man, I don't know. I've never studied that out, but I'm willing to for you. You see? And then you start getting back together and working together through these things. And so that's in a nutshell, kind of how to work with somebody in a manner that is plausible. Does that make sense? Amen. Yes.
So with all of that, how would you go about when someone
Well, I've been doing that lately. Is I would do something like this, and it depends, because I'm not afraid. I mean, praying is not the problem, right? And so I would still pray with them. I like to pray first and have them pray. And I would say something like this: why don't you pray to God and express your understanding of the fact that you're a sinner and that He is the Savior, and thank Him for saving you. Amen. Depending on who it is, you may say, you can call on the name of the Lord. Romans 10 clearly says call. That calling, though, is a willingness to be named after Christ. It's a surname. I'm inviting Him. It's an invoking is what that is. But the Bible clearly says that if I will repent and believe the gospel, that I'll be saved. Amen. So if somebody is completely believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ, I like saying, you know what? Let's pray. Let's express that in prayer to God and thank Him for saving you. Because His promise is, if I repent and believe, He'll save. That's the promise. And there's no prayer connected there. I challenge, there's not. I've struggled with this for a long time because I like the prayer side, because that call is there. But at the same time, I just don't want someone walking away saying, well, I prayed. Okay? I'm glad you prayed. A lot of people pray. Lost people pray all the time. Amen. But that, I like that. Let's thank Him. And then after we're done, maybe go to like a 1 John, John 1, 2. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even in the call in His name. So there's that call. Did you invite Him in? Did you receive Him as Savior? Yes? Okay. By this verse, what are you? A child of God. That's right. Yes, Micah. Oh, that's good.
And most of the time they say, well, by keeping the Sabbath or keeping my good works or this and that. Then you ask them, okay, so what are you trusting in now to get you to heaven?
Right. And this is a people who are taught that doing good works, the law, is what gets you to heaven. But it's never enough. Yeah. So faith is about trust. Yeah, what were you trusting in this morning to get you to heaven? Okay? Yeah, what are you trusting in now? That's a good one too. Amen. As a follow-up to see where they're at. And they may surprise you with what they say. Right? And that is okay. You might have to go back and review some things. Amen? Because sometimes, well, all the time, it's hard to let go, isn't it? It's hard to let go. It's hard for our flesh to let go of what it's trusting in. Amen? Emily. That's good too. What do you want to do with this information, whatever? What do you want to do with what you've learned? Yeah.
Kind of opens up that.
That's good. So.
In this,
yes.
In this book, actually, we also did something like that. Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah, in that, the Way of Salvation book, there's a good follow-up there as well. And so, what I want you to do, for homework, try this out. Take notes and see what your experience is with it, and then come back and share that, right? And if we do that, if we can do that, we'll help each other, and it'll make us all better at being able to communicate truth to other people. That sound good? If you are just petrified to do this, then maybe get with someone that isn't petrified and go with them. Talk, you know, and watch somebody, and you can go out purposefully to find someone to talk to. It was proven at the evangelism thing. You can literally go out and just find someone to talk to. It is absolutely amazing. It's not hard. Was it hard to find? No. It was people, 40 people zooming off in cars, different things, with the purpose, I'm going to go find someone to talk to. It, everyone talked to multiple people when they got back 2 or 3 hours later. That doesn't work like that. Oh, it does. It really does. Pretty fun. Anyway, praise the Lord. That is great stuff, amen. So hopefully this helps. Try it out. See what, and if it bombs, it bombs. It's okay. Brother Hewitt likes to say, every once in a while, it's good for us just to get a really good rejection. Right? It helps our, just helps us to remain humble. Amen. And it's okay. It's okay. Not everybody is gonna want to go further or listen anymore. It's okay. But somebody will. Somebody will. Don't give up. You just keep trying. I guarantee you, you will have an opportunity to, that someone will really be concerned about where they're at and where they're heading. And you will get an opportunity if you just start talking to people. Amen? Yes?
I remember a while back you talking about like going street preaching with Brother Alexander, and he said something like, yeah, I need to go beat my flesh up. And I didn't get that, honestly.
Yeah.
And then, like, Brother Hewitt and them said it again, like, during this class, and I was, but the way they explained it made more sense. Like, you need to get out there.
Get and rejected.
Get rejected, get human. Because, I mean,
yeah.
If we really think about it, we don't like getting rejected.
We don't.
But it's like, your flesh is what doesn't like getting rejected.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, or you don't like not having an answer. Mm-hmm. So if you're humble and you
right.
don't have an answer, like, that's good.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Amen.